DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks comic panel.
All right, welcome to another web-spitting, shield-throwing edition of the comic panel. And for a change, sitting in on the whole panel, just with me alone, is my lovely assistant and co-host, K-Stu.
I'm here, I read some comics.
She's the Lois Lane to my Clark Kent, or the Wonder Woman to my Steve Trevor.
Aww.
K-Stu.
Oh, honey.
So I'm excited that you're sitting in with me this week. You read your books.
This will be the shortest comic panel ever.
No, you read more than... You read four books.
I did.
Maybe five.
What? No.
We got some comic book news to get to as well here. Some of this stuff is going to be exciting for you. Really.
Okay, if you say so.
And I want to begin with the first bit of exciting news for you. In June, fans will be able to get their hands on the first ever Fables Encyclopedia.
That is exciting.
Yep, it's a deluxe hardcover coming out from Vertigo that will tell the stories behind the characters in the Fables mythos. It's written by pop culture scholar Jess Nevins, and the book will also include anecdotes from Bill Willingham and regular series artist Mark Buckingham.
That's cool, because I know when I was reading Fables, there were some stories that I didn't necessarily know. Like, I would know a character name or something. Like, I don't know, for whatever reason, this just popped into my head, and I don't even know if he's in there, but Blackbeard. Like, I know he's a fable. I don't know his story. So I could go to my encyclopedia and look him up. That would be cool.
That's cool.
That would be cool indeed.
Yeah, Fables is one of those stories you just got into on your own at one of the comic book conventions, I remember.
All by myself.
You picked up a couple trades and some single issues and then kind of stopped all of a sudden, like, shortly after issue 50, I think.
I think my real life got in the way of reading comic books regularly.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, I was luckily and blessed to have a day job where I could sit there and read comic books and get paid for it, like, in between customers. And I think around that time is when my job role changed. And I didn't have downtime to read comic books anymore.
Yeah.
And didn't have time outside of work to read them. Like, between customers was my time to read my comic books. And now, unfortunately, the day job escalated, and now I don't have downtime to read comic books at work anymore.
It's a shame.
It is!
Which is all the more impressive that you read some comics this week.
I found some time. I have four jobs. Leave me alone.
Four jobs.
Well, this is one of them.
Oh, I understand. I wish this was the full-time job. What else can I ask you? Well, there's some Wonder Woman news here that was pretty exciting. So recently, Grant Morrison wrapped up his Batman Incorporated and Action Comics rounds. He's decided that his next project is going to be an untitled Wonder Woman ongoing series.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a big fan of the character. And I guess his wife is an even bigger fan, so he's regularly checking with her as he writes the character.
I'm not really married to Geoff Johns. It's okay. It's not me.
people are believing this is the long-rumored All-Star Wonder Woman, which was a project announced years ago, back when All-Star Superman and All-Star Batman were coming out. So we're looking at about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So he hasn't given out any details, but those All-Star titles were pretty good.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. More Wonder Woman for you. And those series don't necessarily have to be in current continuity either.
Right.
So it might be good then.
Because I am so far behind on the real continuity.
Yeah, the new 52 continuity, if you will.
The Pants Wonder Woman?
Yeah, with the weird origin where she wasn't made out of clay. I stopped reading it. I know you're still collecting it, but we just kind of just throw it in the box now.
Yeah. Look at all the issues I have.
The covers are pretty.
I don't even know if I look at those. Why is she in pants?
It's going to be interesting, though. The only Wonder Woman I read these days is in Justice League.
There you go.
Where she's making out with Superman all the time now.
Yeah. Like it should be.
Okay.
I've always thought that. Like, ever since I was a little girl and knew nothing about comics and the Wonder Woman TV show was on, I was like, she should grow up and marry Superman.
Well, now that he's not married to Lois in this new continuity, you got your wish, pal.
There you go.
Broke poor Steve Trevor's heart.
I want some royalties on that. On my big movie check. No?
Hey, while we're talking about Superman, I know we've talked a bit about this, but there was a project that was supposed to happen around 1998, which would have had Tim Burton directing and Nicolas Cage starring in, I guess, The Death of Superman.
Wow.
And over the last couple of years, there's been pictures of like Nick Cage's screen test and him in the suit looking all crazy.
Yeah.
And that movie just fell apart. They still got paid, though, like millions of dollars, even though they didn't do an actual movie. I don't know, I was a little bitter because they had fired Kevin Smith from the project, and then they took over, and then their project just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Mainly, one of the big reasons was the Batman and Robin movie had come out and bombed so big that DC didn't want to take this chance. Well, the reason I'm bringing it up now is there's a documentary coming out called The Death of Superman Lives. What happened? It's actually funded through a successful Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, Kickstarter.
There we go with the Kickstarter again. Yeah. I'm curious, man, because this was a train wreck right from the go. Like, Nick Cage doesn't remotely look like Superman at all.
And I know it was just a screen test, but didn't he, like, refuse to cut his hair or something, and it was right after The Rock and all that?
Yeah, he didn't cut his hair.
Like, Superman had long hair, I guess.
At that time, yeah, around that time he had just...
So maybe he was kind of going for that look?
I don't know. It looked insane.
Well, yeah, because he's got, like, the higher receding forehead, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was really pulling off the Superman mullet look.
I remember from that time, though, Mad TV did a skit with one of the actors called Leaving Metropolis. It was right around the time Nick Cage had done Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Basically, the skit was Superman drunk in a telephone booth.
Junkie Superman?
Yeah, like doing a real bad Nicolas Cage impression. Yeah. Like, hello, Batman, I effed up. I told someone about your cave. But
a movie I would go see.
Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see this documentary. Recently, when Nick Cage was making the rounds for the Croods.
Yeah.
He said that this Superman movie would have been a special movie that everyone would have loved.
Special.
Special, like the special bus.
I was thinking, yeah.
So.
Special.
Yeah. And don't forget, this is from the makers, a guy by the name of John Peters, who didn't want Superman in the costume. Or to fly. So.
He was the one that Kevin Smith tells the story about, right?
Yeah, he was still involved with the project.
That he wanted polar bears in the Fortress of Solitude.
And a giant spider.
And a giant spider that ended up in Wild Wild West anyway.
Yeah. He was a hairdresser for Barbra Streisand. And
he wanted Superman to be razzling polar bears.
Yeah, with a gay robot.
So you can see where it was going in the right direction and... Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's hope that this new Superman movie, Man of Steel, is... Well, we can already tell it's going to be better than that ever would have been.
You think? I don't know.
DC, come on.
Are there polar bears?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is there a mullet?
Is there a mullet? No, this guy actually looks like Superman. Not like Nick Cage in a Superman costume. I'll post pictures in the group sometime. It's ridiculous.
Dear Nick Cage, you look like you're going trick-or-treating.
And this is around the time Nick Cage actually had integrity and was making half-decent movies. Not like
yeah,
now
The Rock
where
and
Con Air and he won an Academy Award around the time.
Yeah.
Nowadays, he's like doing a new movie every 2 weeks that you don't really care about.
Oh, Nick.
And you never saw Ghost Rider 2, so count your lucky blessings.
Hey, I warned you. This doesn't look good.
And no, it wasn't. It wasn't good at all. But I will admit, as soon as this documentary becomes available, I'll be watching it. I hope they get interviews with Nick Cage and Tim Burton, too. That would be cool.
That would be funny.
You know Kevin Smith will be in it somewhere, too.
I hope so. Because seriously, I can't get sick of that Razzlin' Polar Bear story.
That's a great... It's on... The first
evening when Kevin Smith.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, too, so if you get a chance, check it out. It's a hilarious story of what happened on that project.
Can't stop watching that story.
That one and the one about Prince, but...
If you can find it, Kevin Smith's script, I read it online once for Superman Lives, so if it's still out there, check it out. It was pretty decent. He wanted to bring Michael Keaton back as Batman in a cameo.
That would have been sweet.
They had the... It was based on the Death of Superman story, and they had the funeral, and I guess Michael Keaton was going to be Batman proceeding, like, doing the proceedings for the funeral, because he's a huge Keaton Batman fan, Kevin Smith. And the mayor of Metropolis was Mayor Caitlin Bree.
I don't know why my brain went to Mayor McCheese.
Really? The hamburger guy?
I was like, why is he going to say Mayor McCheese? Don't say it.
Wow.
I'm special.
Yeah.
Just
maybe,
like the...
Maybe you should have been in Superman Lives.
Just like the Superman Lives.
Oh, geez. Before we take a break, we mentioned Wonder Woman a little bit earlier, and... Of course, they're planning that Justice League movie, which I'm going to believe it when I see it. But recently, G.I. Joe Retaliation came out this week, and they asked Adrienne Palicki, who's in it. She played Wonder Woman in that pilot that didn't do anything a couple years ago. She mentioned that she would love to play her again in the Justice League movie. Thoughts?
After seeing the pilot, I'm going to go on record. I don't think she's like the ultimate Wonder Woman, but she did a really good job with it, so I would actually like to see her.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I admit I liked it, and I wanted to see more when it was done.
Yeah, it was kind of like the pilot for Aquaman, Aquaboy, Aqualad.
Aquaman.
Whatever.
With blonde head, Justin Hartley.
Yeah, I wanted to see more of that.
And Ving Rhames, his buddy.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not happening. So you wouldn't have a problem if she was cast in the role for Justice League?
No, she did well with it, so I'd like to see... I mean, the TV show won't see the light of day, which makes me sad, so it's the next best thing, I guess.
She didn't look that bad in the costume.
No,
they had a couple different versions of the suit, too.
Yeah.
Pants and shorts.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was all right. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But how about we take a quick break, and we'll get to a little bit more comic book news. I have a top 10 as well. And then, lo and behold, Case do comic reviews.
It's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk, and we'll be talking about it right after this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, true believers, welcome back to the comic panel. This week featuring myself, Jay Stu, and my lovely co-host, Kay Stu.
That's me. I'm lovely.
And you read your books this week. I can't stress that enough. So, we talked about this a little while ago, the big DC project for April is their WTF month, which basically you open up the cover and it folds out and there's a surprise on the inside of the cover.
And it makes you say, what the face?
They're not allowed to say WTF on their covers anymore. They're trying to say that they always meant it, that it was going to be Why the 52, as in the new 52, but that's dumb. But they've revealed some of the covers. And I'm going to spoil them, so if you don't want to know them, don't listen. Or cover your ears. Earbuds.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Silly. So I wrote out a couple of these. The Swamp Thing fold-out cover is Superman looking all mean and angry with his heat vision ablazing.
Ablazing.
Batwings, just another Batman armor. Earth 2. You open it up, and there's Mr. Miracle, who's not really... Well, in the old continuity, he's a regular universe character, not an Earth 2 character, which was surprising to me. Then the Batman cover, he is Bruce Wayne with a gun, and it says Batman fights off his greatest enemy, and you open up the cover and it's Commissioner Gordon. He's holding the gun on. So that was crazy. And then there was just a couple others, like the Vibe cover is him fighting Kid Flash, and I'm curious, because they said there's going to be some major stuff happening in these comics in April, like a new team is born, somebody dies, you know, all the old standards in comic books.
Huh.
Yeah. And sorry, honey, I don't know what's in the Aquaman comic yet, so I know you're a fan.
I'm going to guess it's him talking to fish.
Oh, you're funny.
That's dry.
So that's WTF. Look through that for that throughout the April DC comics. You're always amazed about what a popular character Aquaman is. You don't quite understand it.
Don't.
Well, we can add to that list now Rocket Raccoon, who's a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, soon to be stars of their own Marvel comic movie. And recently, the census-topping CGC copy of the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon in Marvel Preview number 7 from summer of 1976 has been sold. You want to guess how much it went for? First appearance of Rocket Raccoon?
$15.
$2,000.
My guess is $15. Okay.
So it was a black and white Marvel magazine that contained the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon. It was in a backup story written by a guy named Bill Mantlo, who wrote a bunch of Hulk comics in the 80s. And the character at that time was called Rocky Raccoon.
Like Bullwinkle?
No. Not quite. So there was also a 1985 Rocket Raccoon limited series, also written by Mantlo. And I guess the issue 1 of that miniseries recently went for over $7,000. Rocket Raccoon. And these issues are probably going to skyrocket once the movie comes out.
That's crazy.
As crazy as Chris Pratt playing the lead character in that movie.
That's true.
Andy Dwyer, a superhero. I guess that guy can act, though. He was in that Zero Dark Thirty movie.
I guess I
haven't seen it.
I don't plan on seeing it. Never say never, but it's not on my list.
No. It's not on my list either.
Although there was an artist that just did the cast of I can't even put words together. The cast of Parks and Rec as the Justice League. And Chris Pratt was Superman in that imagining.
Wow. Chris Pratt.
Ron Swanson was Batman. With the cowl and the big mustache. And then Leslie Knope was Robin, which just made sense.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was kind of cute.
Was Rob Lowe anybody?
Rob Lowe was the Flash.
Adam Scott?
Was Green Lantern.
Okay.
Tom Haverford was Green Arrow.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
April was Aquaman.
April was Aquaman, and what's her name?
Quincy Jones' daughter?
Yeah. I can see Rob Lowe saying her name first.
Ann Perkins.
Ann Perkins was Black Canary.
I just saw her in an old Foo Fighters
and,
video.
And Jerry was Hawkman.
Jerry was Hawkman.
A shirtless Hawkman.
Oh.
I know, right?
He did get Christie Brinkley on
the
show.
But he had, like, the doofy Jerry face. It was kind of funny.
Rashida Jones.
There you go. But no, I was trying to think of Ann Perkins. Ann Perkins.
Ann Perkins.
Rob Lowe was literally the Flash.
You're hilarious. I'm glad we did this.
So I had posted it on our Facebook page. And then Hunter had a little review that the artwork was not that good. It was better than anything I could draw. I'll put that out there.
I won't be doing any of those art videos that Ballmer does anytime soon.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, by the way, check it out. This week he did Dead Man.
Yeah. And but by the time this goes up, who knows what he will
Yeah, by the time this goes up, he may have some other characters in the can, so.
In the can.
We will definitely be looking forward to that.
But yeah, I was talking to him about the artwork and stuff, and then we were watching another art video where that artist was actually showing how to draw. And I'm bad at anatomy. I know where your head goes, I know where your arms go, I know where your legs go, but as far as the sizes of them and your torso and where muscles are and stuff, like, I don't understand any of this. And John was just shaking his head and he's like, how do you not know that? I'm like, why would I know that? I have various other jobs that have nothing to do with anatomy.
Four jobs.
I'm not a nurse. I barely passed biology. Like, no, I don't know. So it was just kind of funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Just stuff he thought everyone knew. No, you do. You're an artist. I click computer screens. I don't know these things.
I draw stick figures.
I can't even color, much less, like, create.
Okay, Stu.
I've dabbled in watercolors, but it was just flowers.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did. For art class.
Oh, okay.
My mother was an artist, and I thought
yeah, she was, actually.
Maybe it would, like, trickle down to me. No. I can ice a mean cake, but that's about it.
Oh, awesome.
I have nice penmanship.
That you do.
Can we just call my segments off the track? Like, I go on such tangents.
Well, I mean, we can talk about your 80s fashions again if you
no,
want.
No, that was not. That was just in the news.
Yeah.
Clearly. Clearly what I wore in the 80s is news.
Oh, we have a lot of fun, though, don't we?
Well, at least the two of us are enjoying it. I don't know about anybody else.
So, clearly not having fun with his day job is a writer by the name of Andy Diggle. He was all set to be, and they've been, DC's been highly promoting this in comic book ads and posters and everywhere, that he was going to be the new writer of Action Comics now that Grant Morrison's left. Well, it turns out he's only going to be on for one issue now.
Oh!
This month's issue. He's recently come out on Twitter and said he's not going to be doing it anymore. Despite that they've been heavily promoting it. The ad was in every single comic for the last 2 months, I think. And I saw a poster in every one of the comic book stores we frequent. So he's going to be on for one issue. He stated that he's leaving for professional reasons. Now, check this out. The guy that was going to draw the new Action Comics, so they've been promoting this team of Andy Diggle and Tony Daniel. Tony Daniel is an amazing artist, primarily known for Batman.
Not Anthony Daniels.
No.
Not C-3PO.
No, different Tony Daniels. So he said, the day after, he said, okay, Tony Daniels is going to be the writer and the artist. Oh, that's cool. And then the next day after that, Daniels quit as well, stating that he'd be on the book for 3 issues and leaving as of issue 21. So I don't know what's going on at DC.
Wow.
So 2 writers have quit Action Comics in 1 week.
Good work. And on the list of top 100 places to work, I'm guessing it's not DC?
Oh, the same week, and we reported this on the last Comic Book Talk, same week that all this was going down, the guy by the name of Joshua Hale Filekov, who was confirmed as the new writer for Green Lantern Corps, he quit as well, and he hasn't even taken over the book yet. So I don't know what's going on at DC this week.
Maybe a little house cleaning?
Maybe. Maybe Geoff Johns should write everything.
Maybe everybody's used up their 10 sick days and you're getting the boot.
You never know. So we're waiting on an announcement to see who's taking over Action Comics. So
that's crazy.
That is definitely crazy. And I'm just checking real quick to see if I have any other news items before we move on. And I don't believe so.
Okay.
So, let's take another quick break. I'll come back with this week's top 10 list. Oh, I do have one other news item to report on. I'm sorry. Nice. Do you remember a cute little book full of illustrations we saw last year called Darth Vader and Son.
Yes. Adorable. We saw it at Target.
There's a sequel coming out.
And it's also available at Sketchbook Comics.
Yeah, we're going to have to get the sequel because we have a daughter. Vader's Little Princess.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's what would it be like if Vader had to raise a daughter from an infant right up until she's a teenager?
Yeah!
So we need that one.
Awesome. Can I get it right now?
I don't think it's available yet. I don't care, but it's cute because he draws the kids like Calvin and Hobbes characters.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to need to get that one. It's called Vader's Little Princess. So look for it in better bookstores everywhere.
Or Target.
Or Target.
Or Sketchbook Comics
or
and
Games. Or Sketchbook Comics and Games. Maybe we should run an ad for Sketchbook Comics and Games right now.
I will say by the time this is edited, I probably won't remember to do that.
Okay.
But I hope I do, though.
I hope you do, too. So let's take a break, and we'll have a commercial for Somewhere We Love, and we'll be right back after this.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, welcome back to this week's We Got the Geek comic panel. Down here in the We Got the Geek Fortress of Solitude.
Oh. It can't be a Fortress of Solitude if I'm here. And a dog.
That's true.
And sometimes the cat.
All right.
And sometimes the kid.
Okay, then.
Earlier today, I was entertaining a boy down here.
It's our Justice League Watchtower, then. So I have another top 10 list from our friends over at newsarama.com. John Ballmer loves these top 10 lists. This week, their top 10 was the top 10 best size-changing superheroes. Believe it or not, there's quite a lot of these guys.
There's more than 10, so we have narrowed it down to the top 10?
Yep, they can shrink, they can grow into giants. It's crazy. And let's see if you've heard of any of these people. All right, number
Superman.
No. Number 10 you may have heard of. She's a Wonder Woman villain called Giganta.
Indeed, I have.
Red hair. She dated the New Atom for a little bit in the all-new Atom series.
Did he have to call himself the New Atom?
I don't think he ever did.
Show up on the scene of the crime. Hello, I am the New Atom.
You're funny.
I know.
Number 9 from the Doom Patrol, Elastigirl. She was the adopted mother of the Beast Boy from the Teen Titans. Rita Farr was her name.
Wasn't Elastigirl the mom in The Incredibles?
I don't think so.
Something similar.
Probably. Elastic Lady or something?
Maybe.
Well, you get on the interwebs and find that out.
I'm doing something else on the internet right now.
All
right. Not looking at porn, Ryan.
Number 8 is a character by the name of Stature. She's actually the daughter of the second Ant-Man. And unfortunately, she passed away last year in the Avengers Last Crusade miniseries.
Don't worry. They always come back.
It's true. She didn't shrink, though. She grew...
Elastigirl.
Really? And they didn't... And DC didn't sue them. Huh. All right.
Thank you, Internet Movie Database. Okay, so... The dead girl? What was her name?
Stature.
Stature.
Cassie Lang was her secret identity. Her dad was Scott Lang, the second Ant-Man.
Her aunt was Lana Lang.
Number 7, I swear to God, this is his real name, Colossal Boy from the Legion of Superheroes in the future. He also could grow into a giant. Not to be outdone, number 6, also from the Legion of Superheroes, Shrinking Violet.
Yeah, I just rolled my eyes.
It's a real character.
That just happened.
Number 5, from Marvel's Thunderbolts, a guy by the name of Atlas, who was also the second Goliath for a little bit. I think he stole Henry Pym's growth-changing serum.
Oh.
But he became a hero after that.
Okay.
Though. Number four, someone who also relied on Henry Pym's growth formula, a guy by the name of Bill Foster, who also went by the name of Goliath. He passed away in the Civil War miniseries. Thor's clone killed him. So some of these growth-related heroes don't have very good luck.
Apparently not. Thor 2.0 killed you.
Number three, and I can't believe he's not at least top two, the Atom.
Maybe because there was a new Atom that's in the top two?
No, that's the only Atom on this list. The original Atom, Ray Palmer from the Justice League and all those great adventures. My favorite power...
And Twin Peaks?
What now?
What was Laura Palmer's dad's name?
I didn't watch that show. I couldn't tell you, but you threw me there. But my favorite trick that he would do is he would... I guess he can't really do it now that there's cell phones. But he would call somebody and then shrink down so small that he could travel the phone waves right into the phone of whoever he called. I don't know if he could do that with a cell phone. I'm not a scientist. You're looking up Laura Palmer's father, aren't you?
Yeah.
Reginald Palmer.
Oh, it was Leland Palmer.
Okay.
But he was played by Ray Wise.
The devil.
Yes. So that's where I got
Also
confused.
From Swamp Thing. Thanks, John Palmer, for that. Number two.
I wonder if we watch Twin Peaks now. That has nothing to do with your list. Just all saying.
It's okay.
Okay.
I'm glad I could help. Number two is the Wasp from the Avengers. Recently came back from the dead. Like you said, they don't stay dead very long.
They don't. It's like the writers of Days of Our Lives are writing comic books.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
And do you want to guess who number one is on this top 10 size-changing heroes
Hulk.
List? Really?
He is a size changer.
Kind of. No, the number one...
he is a size changer.
Okay. The number one size changer is Henry Pym.
He doesn't have his own movie.
He might. He does, actually, coming out in 2015.
The Hulk has already had two alone movies, and he's in the Avengers. Why isn't the Hulk on that list?
Because he doesn't shrink.
Dear people of internet site that Jay goes to and John likes. He doesn't have to shrink, it's in size changing.
Yes, but they implied giant or shrinking to a tiny creature.
You don't think the Hulk's a giant?
Not like Henry Pym.
Henry Pym's not a giant.
Giant Man was one of his aliases. Silly.
Really, top 10, no Hulk? I seriously, I'm not even, like, joking. I'm like, Hulk's gotta be on that list. You go from regular-sized Dr. Bruce Banner to big, humongous Hulk that won't even fit in my living room. Just saying.
All right, honey, I agree with you.
Thank you.
Well, maybe there's a reason we don't do this segment together very often.
She's very argumentative.
You are. This is worse than the
She's
time.
Very opinionated.
This is worse than the time that you got angry for seeing the Star Trek trailer because the ship resembled the Millennium Falcon.
The ship looked like the Millennium Falcon, and he said, "Punch it, really? You're not Star Wars. You're no Han Solo."
I'm sorry.
I don't even know if I want to see that movie. I'm going to be very angry for 2.5 hours.
All right, K-Stu needs to cool off for a minute. So when we come back, we're going to get into our comic book reviews.
Aren't you excited? Are you excited to hear how angry these comics are going to make me?
Oh, boy. All right, stay tuned for Kath Smash after these words.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, welcome back to this week's We Got the Geek comic panel, coming from our own private Avengers Tower. Not the Fortress of Solitude, so I don't get yelled at again.
No, Fortress of Solitude, you need to be alone.
Okay. We have some comic reviews.
Not even with the Hulk.
We have some comic reviews to go through. Now, let's talk Archie. Archie has teamed up with a lot of weird characters in his time. Let's do the list. The Punisher, Sonic the Hedgehog, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kiss, and the Tiny Titans. So this month, Archie has met the cast of Glee in Archie issue 641. And they meet in a real weird way. Care to elaborate, since it's your favorite show?
Oi.
And this is like the classic Glee cast before, I guess, this season occurred.
It's almost season one, but Blaine's there.
Yeah. So it's got to be season two then. Wait, what season are they at now? Four?
Wow. Yeah.
It's probably season three then.
No, because I don't have all the other... It's the original cast.
And Blaine.
And Blaine.
Oh, I got to hear what you thought of this then.
So there's a wormhole of sorts in Brittany's locker. Because Dilton
is his name? Yeah, the smart kid from the Archie gang.
Or Artie Who Walks, as Brittany calls him. He's discovered parallel universes, blah, blah, blah. And then he compares everyone in the Archie universe to everyone in the Glee universe. Some of them, a little bit of a stretch. A little bit.
Yeah.
So, I can see why I liked reading Archie when I was a kid, because it's a pretty thin storyline. You don't really have to think to follow along. They're just, at this point, just comparing everybody back and forth. And some of the Archie characters are in the Glee universe now, and some of the Glee characters are in the Archie universe. Not really sure who ended up where. Don't really care. Gonna keep reading, because I have to, but I'm not really gonna be keeping score on, oh my gosh, Rachel's not with Finn. Rachel's not with Finn, that's a big one. They're in separate universes.
Veronica is in the Glee universe, because she gets slushied.
Oh, spoiler alert, the last panel, Veronica gets slushied.
Yeah.
Which they don't even do anymore on the show.
No, they don't actually. They should, because I don't like anyone on the show now.
Anyone. Puck's still there with his mohawk, so that's good.
They don't compare Jughead to anybody.
They don't?
I don't think so.
I thought they had somebody for everybody.
I'm looking through here right now. Archie's the Finn.
And Betty and Veronica are Rachel and Quinn.
And Reggie is Puck.
But then Betty's the nice one and Quinn's the mean one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reggie and Puck.
Yeah, it's not even that they're just rival schools. It's a time warp that...
Yeah.
For alternate universe.
Kevin Keller.
Yeah, he's a newer addition to the Archie mythos.
So...
He's the Kurt.
He's Kurt. Trying to think of who Blaine was. They didn't really...
I think Blaine was also just riding Kurt's coattails with the...
Yeah, because that would happen. Oh, Jughead was Mercedes.
Oh.
Because they had their own Jones. Jughead Jones and Mercedes Jones.
That's reaching.
I know, I said they're very, very, very thin comparisons.
I wonder if she'll be wearing the Jughead crown.
Dear Artie Who Walks. So, yeah.
Oh, there's, what's her name? Lisa Chang?
Tina Cohen Chang?
Tina Cohen Chang.
She wasn't compared to anybody. It's traditional Archie animation, though.
Yeah.
And even with that, it's a pretty good comparison. I like the Archie visuals of the Glee gang.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'll read the next one, but I don't know. There's a reason I don't read Archie anymore. I think I found it.
Wow, I think you got, like, one of the rare covers, too.
I got the variant edition with Archie doing the Glee L forehead.
Yeah. don't know. I read it and I don't know. I'll keep reading it, I guess.
I will say I would like to see this be like the TV movie of the week. Like, I would like to see a real-life casting of Archie right now and doing this storyline. That would be funny.
And make Hunter watch it?
Yeah, I all of a sudden had, like, this Clockwork Orange thing in my head that I have him, like, strapped down and his eyes just pried open and making him watch it.
He's never going to forgive me for,
Archie versus Riverdale or...
Oh, I was going to call it Weekend at Riverdale. It was, Return to Riverdale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
I would really like it if this is the precursor to Archie Zombies.
It's written by the same guy who's actually a writer for the Glee TV show. Roberto something or other?
Huh. Dear Roberto.
Was there a piano man in there?
Not that I noticed.
No Beast and no Miss Pillsbury.
No, it wasn't a Beast season. I don't know why Miss Pillsbury's not there. Sue is.
Yeah, Sue's there. Maybe there was a piano.
No, because they were singing everywhere else but the Glee room. And at least the Archie gang was singing Sugar Sugar, so.
Because that's the only song they know. That was the joke in there. Yeah. That made me laugh, actually.
So, as a Glee fan, it's kind of required reading, but other than that... They did sing We Got the Beat in there.
Yeah.
As a little shout out to us, so I thought that was nice.
Yeah. Mercedes Jones and Jughead Jones. Yep. That sums it all up for me right there.
It was a pretty thin line we're drawing here.
Yeah.
No, I don't see a piano man.
Mr. Shu. Alright.
Yep. So.
So Archie meets Gleek. Second part should be coming out shortly.
Welcome to McKinley, Gleek. Next, Veronica Lodge just got slushied. What do you think is going to happen? Oh, heads are going to roll.
Heads are going to roll. You don't dump a slushie on Veronica Lodge.
And then, like, the funny thing I'm reading is the ads.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't know the last time I picked up an Archie book. But there's the Archie Married Life series.
Yeah, that's the alternate series where in one story he's married to Veronica and the other story he's married to Betty.
I kind of put that together, and I'm not picking on you for pointing that out. But at first I'm looking at the book going, so he's married to one of them and has a mistress? Because he's on the cover, like, hugging Veronica, and then another picture of him hugging, hugging Betty. And I'm like, wow. Archie Comics is quite on 50 Shades here. So, yeah. And then Betty and Veronica, prom princesses. Betty and Veronica, best friends forever. I don't know what happened in the 20 years, 20 plus years. It's been 30 years since I picked up a Betty and Veronica comic. They were not friends ever.
They're fighting over Archie of all people.
Best friends forever. And they got the good old, like, back-to-back, smiling over the shoulder, Laverne and Shirley smashing the door open pose. You know what I'm talking about.
You're hilarious.
No, because I'm reading this going, what? There is a storybook one where their princess is.
I remember how excited you got when you saw the ad for this comic.
Because I love anything Glee. Glee pillow in my car, for goodness sake.
You even got a Glee trivia game recently.
I did. Very exciting. Didn't buy the new Justin Timberlake album so that I could buy a Glee game. What?
I think we should have a game night with the Hunters.
I think we have to put all the knives away. Hunter will stab me if I make him play that.
Oh.
He'll come over all thinking we're going to play, like, Magic the Gathering or start up a good D&D and be like, hey! Do you want to play the Glee trivia game or the Glee board game I have?
Glee the Gathering.
Which one do you want to play? Play Seinfeld Scene It.
Wow. let's take a quick break. And we had a few more reviews to get to. And
I'm out of wine.
Stay tuned for the hilarious stylings of Miss Kathy Stewart right after these words.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded, whether you're a pull list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils. Everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back to the comic book panel with myself and K-Stu. And the next book up that we both read was Hawkeye Issue 8 by Matt Fraction. And I gotta tell you, I've been loving this series. I picked up the first issue kind of just to check it out. Hawkeye's one of those guys, always been great in the Avengers books, but you put him in a solo book and just something about it is not right. But this series I've been loving. It's sort of Hawkeye as a landlord on his days off from being an Avenger. And he's quite the ladies' man as well, by the way.
True.
So in this issue, the lady that he got his car from a few issues before this shows up again and starts making out with him at Avengers Mansion in front of the Black Widow, his ex-wife, and his current girlfriend. So not a good way to start because, you know, Hawkeye gets in trouble right off the bat. And the art in this is top-notch. So he has to go with her to this club to steal a safe. And girl Hawkeye drives him there. And
girl Hawkeye. I'm sorry, it's just funny.
Well, she's Hawkeye as well. I like that he's wearing a toque with a Hawkeye toque, pretty much.
Yeah.
To commit the crime. I don't know, you read this after I did. What did you think?
I liked it. There was like a cute little tongue-in-cheek comic book shout-out because she had sent him a bunch of comic books and told him don't read them, but he did. And it turns out, spoiler alert, this book's like 3 weeks old, the comic books that she sent him, the numbers were the combination to the safe. So he read them and got them all out of order, so she didn't know the combination of the safe anymore.
And the cool plot twist is if you put in the wrong combination too many times, it'll destroy the contents of the safe.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a neat idea.
Crazy safe.
And she's nothing but trouble. Like, he gets arrested because of her.
Yep.
Tries to get out of it by telling the cops he's an Avenger. He gets a phone call from Iron Man and Cap, just angry at him for what happened.
Yep.
It's a great series. It's got it. Like I've said this many times, it's got the same feel I got from reading the Brian Michael Bendis Daredevil comics from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. This is the first time I've liked a Hawkeye solo series. And he's had a few over the years. I guess they figured he was a good part of that Avengers movie. You might as well finally put him in a good title, I guess. But I enjoy it. And I highly recommend this. And it's one of those Marvel series that doesn't come out every 2 weeks, which is good.
Yeah.
And it's $2.99, which is reasonably priced. Give it a shot. Issue 9 should be coming out soon. And last week, I think the first 6 issues got collected in a trade paperback.
Oh, yeah?
So that might be a good way to catch up. So I highly recommend it. I'm going to give this one 5 arrows out of 5.
All right.
I didn't really review give a rating to the Glee one.
I give it 4 slushies out of 5.
I give it 1.5 slushies out of 5.
The reason I'm giving it 4 out of 5 is because it stayed true to the cheesiness of Archie and the cheesiness of Glee.
Yes.
The fact that I didn't like it.
horrendous.
Really shouldn't matter. It is what it is. I can't pick up Archie versus Glee and expect, like, Fables.
No. Walking Dead. Although that'll be next with Archie.
That one, and that's another one that I'm looking forward to.
Hunter brought up a good point. He would have enjoyed seeing a Walking Dead Archie crossover with the characters awesome. From that book.
Rick meets Jughead, like, really? but I'm looking forward to Archie meets zombies or whatever, but at the same time, it's still going to be Archie. Like, I guess I kind of got... I forgot what Archie was.
Good wholesome fun.
Pretty much.
He couldn't choose one or the other. He was trying to get Archie and Betty in.
Throw malts at each other in the Archie universe. If they're throwing slushies in the Glee universe.
A popped chocolate shop?
Malt shoppy.
Oh, jeez.
But Hawkeye, good.
Hawkeye, good. Put Archie, bad.
These are Frankenstein reviews. Fire, good.
All right, so our next review is a series you wanted to collect when you saw the solicitations.
I'm a kid from the 70s, what can I say? Yeah.
Now, you didn't read the whole Kevin Smith Bionic Man series, but I think I remember you saying you liked what you did read of it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You could tell he was a fan, and he wrote it from a fan perspective type thing. Like, there was a shout-out to the red jumpsuit.
Yeah, it was a big retelling of Steve Austin's origin. Didn't call it the $6 million man because it's not worth as much as it was in the 70s.
Yeah, chump change. I will take $6 million if anybody's giving it out, yeah. By the way.
So I read the whole Kevin Smith series, loved it, stopped collecting it then. Guess there was a Bionic Woman miniseries, which we both didn't get to read. So I might have to go back and read it because they don't explain where she got her bionicness in this miniseries. Yeah. The miniseries in question we're talking about is Bionic Man versus Bionic Woman.
Versus,
yeah.
That's what you said. I'm just reiterating.
So we had issue 2 and issue 3 here. They're trying to track down this crazy monster who needs other people's hearts to live.
Yep.
So he's pretty much this gigantic monster serial killer. First issue dealt with Steve Austin searching for him. Second issue dealt with Jamie Summers' search, her part of the search.
Searching for Steve Austin at this point.
Yeah, he's disappeared at this point, so she's gone off to locate him.
Oscar Goldman Center. It's all right. It's a name I shouldn't know.
As portrayed by actor Richard Anderson, which is why Richard Dean Anderson had to put Dean in there when he was getting his acting credit.
His SAG card?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This guy they're after is really super creepy.
He reminds me of... kind of like Brick from the Green Arrow series.
A little bit of Brick, a little bit of the Blob from X-Men.
Yeah, he's just
He's got cybernetic huge. Parts here, too.
Yeah, he's Bionic Brick.
Yeah, and he's like, in the issue, too, he's ripping off the Bionic Woman's arms.
Not to beat her with.
No, he just takes them off, takes her away. I really got to go back and read that Bionic Woman series, I guess, then.
Yeah, because they just kind of jump into this series, assuming that you know her backstory.
Yeah.
And I vaguely remember the TV show, so... Yeah, good luck to me.
Yeah, I watched them both. I remember that somehow her bionic parts didn't take and she had a big memory loss and couldn't remember Steve Austin or something like that.
I don't even remember that much.
I don't remember.
I didn't watch $6 Million Man as much, but Bionic Woman was appointment viewing. Like, I had to sit down and watch that.
Yeah.
And again, it was just being a girl and there was, like, a girl role model.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I didn't care to watch $6 Million Man. I didn't care. I know my parents watched it.
Yeah, I watched them both. I couldn't tell you a thing about them now, but...
I remember the noise that he would make when he would go bionic.
Yeah.
They used the same noises for her.
Yeah. Except she had the busted ear, he had the busted eye.
I vaguely remember her ear. Like, there was something in the credits about it. Remembering.
Did you have the Bionic Woman doll?
I did not.
I had the Steve Austin doll.
Yeah.
I did not get to have...
Oscar Goldman?
No, I wasn't the 40-year-old virgin.
The $6 Million Man's boss? But the best part of that story was when we saw the preview and you said, wait, pause that. That's the $6 million man's boss. That's Oscar Goldman. And I was like, yep, yeah, this is the man I love.
True.
But I know that, like, as a little girl, I wanted to be Wonder Woman and I wanted to be the Bionic Woman. Like, yeah. That was who I had to look up to. I didn't want to be Edith Bunker.
No.
Or Lauren Tews.
A little bit of trivia for you. In the late 80s, early 90s, there were several Bionic reunions. And on one of them, which was one of her first acting credits, was Sandra Bullock.
That's funny.
And I think in one of them, Steve and Jamie finally got married.
I was
going to
say,
well.
Am I remembering a wedding?
I think that might have been one of the final ones.
Aww.
Issue 3, though, they get reunited.
And it felt so good.
No, she beats the hell out of him.
She has to. Shut up.
Yeah, there's this plan where the crazy blob brick guy with the crazy hearts, turns out he's radioactive as well. And he could take out, I think it said, a 50-block radius.
Yeah.
If he explodes. But that's okay, because he's going to be cool and take it easy as long as they fight each other. And the one that wins gets to live. And it's pretty gruesome what he does to the winner at the end. I don't want to give it away since this issue just came out yesterday. But it's pretty creepy. So, what did you think of the new issue?
I liked it. He's pretty much got him, like, in a cage match to the death.
Yeah. And he's taking it easy on her because he doesn't want to fight her.
He still loves her.
But she doesn't feel the same way. He just kicks the living crap out of Steve Austin.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an okay series. Like, I'm not blown away by it or anything. And now I got to find out what happens, like, in the last couple issues, but
when I picked it up today, Jeff at Sketchbook said he almost put it in my pull bag for me because I'm the only person who buys it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's just making me sad.
That is pretty sad. I don't know. It's okay. I got to read the end of the series, but I mean, if you want to read a good Bionic story, seek out Kevin Smith's Bionic Man story.
Yeah. I don't even know how long this is going on for. Jeff says he keeps seeing it in the
5 or 6 issues, I think. I guess we could look it up at some point.
Still love that I'm the only person who buys it.
By the way, did you happen to see the ad for the Grimm comic?
I did. And covered by Alex Ross, by the way.
Yeah.
I
didn't even know that was coming out.
I'm so far behind on the actual show. Maybe I can catch up in comic book form.
And then on the back cover,
Pogs form.
On the back cover, also covers by Alex Ross, the original Battlestar Galactica from the 70s.
Yeah.
That's insane. But look at the art, though. It looks just like Dirk Benedict and Richard Hatch and Lorne Greene. I know John Ballmer would probably be into that.
Yeah.
This Dynamite Company, though, they're, like, getting pretty huge. They just had them mentioned on Comic Book Men last week.
So, I'm looking through it. Like, well, I'm reading the book. And I'm checking out the ads and stuff. Because they have this other one, Miss Fury?
Miss Fury, yeah, there's
that I was thinking about maybe looking into. She's a chick. I'll read anything with a chick in it.
That's
kind of
Batman-ish.
Yeah. Like, Batman, Catwoman.
All mixed up.
I can't tell if she's a good guy or a bad guy. Kind of like an Elektra thing.
Covers by Alex Ross. Like, what doesn't he draw?
Yeah. Like, she kind of, I think she's got like a little Elektra thing going on where Elektra technically isn't a hero.
Yeah.
But you're rooting for her type thing. So anyway,
Well, issue 1 does come out in April if you want to check it out.
But then I'm looking through and I'm seeing the Dynamite ad. Well, I guess that's IDW. But is it still the same company?
That's just a different ad. It is Dynamite Comics. They've done a bunch of movie tie-ins. They did Green Hornet. They did Bionic Man.
Doctor Who,
yeah.
Well, that's IDW.
That's IDW. Don't get confused by the ad in the comic. They're advertising other companies' comics there, too.
Gotcha. Because I was like, Wow, they do all of these, but apparently they do not. They do not.
So we can check out Miss Siri, though. That kind of looks interesting.
I don't know. I was thinking about it, but then there's a preview in here that I actually have to go back and read. The Black Bat, by the way?
Yeah.
Isn't that like an old series?
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, okay. From the critically acclaimed writer of The Flash.
Who's the writer?
Brian Bucalato.
I'm not familiar with him.
There's a cover by J. Scott Campbell.
Huh.
Yeah, like the artwork in Bionic Man versus Bionic Woman was like really good.
And they got the coloring right this time. We had complaints with issue one because they kept coloring Jamie's hair different.
Well, her hair in a bikini, they couldn't get straight.
Yeah.
They're drawing her boobies nicely, so that's good.
Yeah. Almost makes me want to seek out old episodes.
I kind of want to go back and watch The Bionic Woman. I want to go see if it's available on Netflix or Crackle.
It's not on Netflix, but maybe Crackle.
I haven't seen it on Crackle. I'm still in the middle of watching The Prisoner. Man, that show is creepy, by the way. Why did my mother let me watch it?
We've got a Prisoner comic sequel down here as well that you never read either.
Yeah, I gotta go back and read the comic book when I'm done watching the show. I'm only on episode 3. I'm only watching it like 15 minutes at a time.
How many episodes were there again?
There's 17 on Crackle, but I think there might actually be more.
There was only the one season it was on, yeah. Right?
It's a British show, so... What are we looking for? Bionic Woman?
Bionic Woman, yeah. Lindsay Wagner.
The only thing about the Crackle, at least for the phone... There's no, like, search option. You actually have to look through. They have Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which is the
Jerry
Seinfeld series, and Chosen, which is a Crackle exclusive series.
Yeah.
Crackle original with Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, okay. Peter Petrelli.
So it's like, oh, well, I've got to check that out. Sanford and Son. Good Times. VIP.
Pamela Lee.
Starsky and Hutch.
Chimps.
And live action Chimp. Live action The Tick, because you said Starsky and Hutch, so I had to say Chimps.
Oh, live action The Tick is on Netflix as well.
Okay, cool.
Speaking of which, Saturday is the date that Netflix gets all the DC comic cartoons. Green Lantern, Justice League, Batman Beyond, all those good shows. Kid's excited. I'm excited as well.
Yeah, my eyes just got big because I just saw Benson on here. The Dana Carvey Show.
We own that.
Okay.
Funny enough.
Fantasy Island.
Tattoo or Mr. Belvedere?
Tattoo.
Really?
Wow.
You're funny.
This is exciting. There's a lot of manga on here.
The good Spider-Man cartoons on there as well. The Spectacular Spider-Man with the theme song you enjoy.
Iron Man, Wolverine, X-Men, Blade, cartoon series.
Anime.
No, on here.
Yeah, those are anime.
Okay. The Prisoner.
Cool. So,
all right, so instead of just sitting here watching me read this, we should probably close it up.
Yeah, we're going to close it up. Before we go, I just want to mention that, speaking of comic books, we have been contacted to take place in this year's Free Comic Book Day at Pulp Comics in May. So if you're around, come see us. Maybe we'll get you on the show. We're going to have some dice you can spin. We'll get you to ask a question.
Who spins a dice?
Throw.
Roll.
Roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Okay, then. I'm very tired.
I know.
So, come check us out there. John Ballmer will also be there. It's going to be a good time. We'll give you more details as we get them. And thanks to K-Stu for coming out this week to do the comic book panel with me. Maybe she'll get to read more books next week.
Maybe.
Or maybe that's just crazy talk. Anyhow, we're going to take off. So thanks for listening. And once again, never forget, we got the geek.
Thanks for listening, folks. If you want to hear more, please check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.